It's a Friday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We're now joined by Eric Snodgrass from Agrible to take up the weather forecast. Where are you traveling to first this week and next week?
Yeah, I feel like I'm going all over the country. I'm in Mount Vernon today. Great group down here talking to just about big picture weather stresses. And then I'll go out to North Carolina to talk a little bit about sweet potatoes there to start the week. I end up in Fargo, and then I'll be in Indiana, Chicago, and at weekend, I'll be in Nebraska. So it's a busy one. A lot of folks want to know what that long-range weather's doing.
Holy smokes. I guess you are busy. Speaking of which, that meeting this morning you did in Mount Vernon, I think, was with Farm Credit Illinois. And I'll be out on that meeting circuit next week. So we're going to hit the road. You can see some of those on the Farm Credit Illinois website and or by hitting willag.org and then looking at calendar. So during that time frame, what kind of weather will we have maybe over the next several days? Things are changing nicer today.
Yeah, we're already 10 degrees warmer today than we were yesterday at this time. And even yesterday was warmer than the day before. So we've certainly shifted over to a southwest flow at the surface now, and it's going to come out of the south in the next couple of days, basically getting us into Saturday and Sunday. And that's going to change things up a little bit. We get that southerly flow. We've opened up the Gulf of Mexico, and that means it's going to get a little mucky. We're going to see some clouds move in, going to see that snow finally melt off. And so the next few days with the warm-up we're going to get, we're going to be seeing some deteriorating conditions, but at least we're not going to be freezing all of that every single night. We're in fact going to have some warm temperatures, maybe in the 50s in central Illinois as we move into Sunday into early Monday. But all that's out ahead of a big system that we're watching coming out of the Rocky Mountains, and that's the big pattern shift we have to talk about, because we have been seeing a big deep trough over the east, going back about a month now. And now we've shifted to bring in more of these these West Coast systems, and so they've been dumping the rain on California and bringing the mountain snows, and as they get across the mountains, they're kicking off low pressure systems. So we're going to miss the snow. We're going to get rain out of this Sunday night into Monday, maybe quite a bit of rain out of this. But the bigger story, I think, with all this is that this system, just like the others, is missing that really, really dry pocket of land there in parts of Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. Some of those areas have not seen rainfall to get back to the beginning of October of last year. So each one of these is kind of forming beyond it, and then not really hammering those locations with snow or rain. So we're building a bit of a drought picture to our south and west, which we've been talking about, and it's something that I'm going to be watching very carefully over the coming months. I think that's a big weather story that could start off the 2018 season with a little bit of adversity. So we'll watch it closely.
That system sounds to me like it's coming from the west. Is that the case? And does that mean we're in a transition period again?
Yeah, it's coming from the west. So the trough is now out west rather than out east. And what that means is these troughs tend to lift. They go from kind of Colorado towards Chicago and then get into the Great Lakes area. What that means for us is we tend to spend a few days out ahead of them with quite a bit of warm weather. And if they lift to the north like that, we tend to not get these big plunges of cold air behind them. So yeah, a cold front's still going to come through, but it's not going to knock us down to single digits this time. In fact, I don't really see that the really Arctic frigid air around here, at least for the rest of the month. So that's at least as a positive sign looking forward. Because, we are gaining daylight hours. Sun's getting a little bit higher in the sky. We've kind of made the turn on winter in terms of those two features. And so we'll be watching it all closely as it evolves into February.
Okay, better check in on South America. Combines are actually rolling in Mato Grosso.
Yeah, that's right. And, the thing about that harvest right now is that the 10-day forecast, pretty much they all agree we're looking at a drier pattern in Brazil's northern growing regions. In fact, they're starting to dry out over the last month or so, but dry at this time of year is like dry during our harvest. We want that, and so the dry bias there is not a negative thing for that soybean crop. We're thinking that soybean crop is going to be pretty large as well. Really, they had a delay in planting, which we talked about a lot on the show, really the bean crop got plenty of rain throughout the season, no major stresses either way. So as they're harvesting it, they're expecting a pretty big crop out of that Mato Grosso region. A little bit different story when you get down in Argentina. Argentina's kind of being the market story we need to watch because there's been some pockets and some time periods of drier weather. And one of the things we're kind of looking out for in the longer run is what's really going to happen in the Cordoba and Buenos Aires province. What are those two provinces going to see in terms of rain for the next few months? Long-range models say there's a better chance that they see drier conditions than wetter. And so we'll have to watch that closely. Those models aren't perfect, but they're at least what the markets are going to trade right now if they're trading on weather. And I'll just tell you one last thing that I think a thing that might be positive for corn prices is going to be the fact that the fact that there's a delay in the planting of the Safrinha crop, Plus, where corn prices are kind of globally, we may see more cotton acres going in this year rather than corn in those northern grow regions for that safrinha crop. So that's another story to be on the lookout for.
Hey, one more place we want to check in on, and I haven't checked in most of the winter, Black Sea region. What kinds of conditions have they suffered through, or are they in at the moment?
Yeah, you know, that's great. I produce a map every day that looks at the last 30 days of both precipitation anomalies and temperature anomalies. And I'll say this about the Black Sea region getting over there into parts of Western Russia, where they do grow a lot of wheat. You know, we're talking over the last 30 days, they've had a warm bias. It's not that it hasn't been cold at times, but a warm bias overall in that part of Russia, not in Siberia, but in that part of Russia. And in addition to that, they actually are carrying right now a near average to a slight wet bias. So if you contrast that to what's going on in the U.S., you know, hard red winter wheat area, it's quite a different story where the U.S. has been incredibly cold and very, very dry, whereas they've had a bit of a warm bias and they've been a little bit wetter than average. So interesting to see how it plays out kind of dynamically across the planet.
Always fun to talk with you. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
That, of course, is Eric Snodgrass. He is with Agrible. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.